Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Hunter Muller to the show. Hunter is the president and CEO at HMG Strategy, one of the world's largest independent providers of executive networking events and thought leadership to support technology leaders. Well, Hunter, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. You and I have known each other now for, 6 or 7 years and got to be friends. And I was so excited when you said yes, that you would be on the podcast.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, very good. So let's talk a little bit. I'd like to know a little bit about your upbringing. Can you talk to us about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was kind of a magical experience growing up in Connecticut, Westport, Connecticut, specifically a bedroom community of New York City, about 50 miles outside of New York City on Long Island Sound. So we settled in there in the early 60s, picked the lot, my folks built the house that we lived in for quite a few years. And it's just a beautiful town, right on the water, and great sports, great kids. And just, you know, one of those magical opportunities where the neighborhood, at the end of a day, there'd be 40 or 50 kids running around the neighborhood at late at night playing games, sports and games, because everyone moved into the neighborhood at the same time and settled the neighborhood at the same time, because it was one of those developments post-World War II, I guess. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And you still love the water today, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a big sailor. I love to race sailboats, as well as I have a motorboat as well. It's great to be on the water.
Yeah, there is something very serene and peaceful.
It's really mad. Again, it's one of those one of my passions for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of passions. We'll be talking about some of those maybe. So talk to us a little bit about your education. Tell us about what did you end up majoring in? And then I really want to start talking about your career ascent, because you've been an entrepreneur probably about your whole career, right? So talk to us a little bit about education and your career ascent.
Well, you know, it's fascinating when I look back over the decades and the different segments, both elementary school, junior high, high school, and even college. Really, overall, I wasn't a great student. Having a high energy level and attention deficit kind of position, it made it really quite challenging to be really exceptional in the traditional education model that we've had in the United States over the past 50 years. There were times when I really excelled, and I excelled typically when I really liked the topic, right? No mistake there. But what it really forced me to do is forced me to understand, forced me to learn, to educate myself and do a lot of reading and self-discovery on my own in my free time to really understand, decode myself, if you will, like a software program, really try to understand what made me tick, what really got me interested and excited, enthusiastic and passionate about a specific area, themes, or topics.
Mm-hmm. Did you kind of hone in on a few things? I think I could probably say a few things. I know you love innovation. You obviously love technology, right?
Innovation, technology, for sure. And that was kind of later in the self-discovery process. But early on, it was this notion of athletics, achieving high levels of performance in athletics. And I probably tried almost every sport growing up as a kid, and a couple sports truly excelled at a regional, national level. Mm-hmm. But what it taught me was an interest in excitement and enthusiasm for winning, and the excitement and how much fun it is to win, and And believe it or not, over years and years of studying it, and we're studying top motivational experts, top athletes, top coaches, top business leaders, I really came to this point of view that whatever you do in life, you're just going to spend a lot of time working.
That's right.
A huge amount of time. Disproportionate amount of your time will be around working and or planning to work or thinking about working. And it hit me in my 20s is that I surely better love what I do for a living. Because once you find an area that you really love what you're doing for your work, work becomes easier and it's more engaging, more stimulating, more higher energy relative to with the topic that you're mm-hmm. working on or the area you're working on, the people you're working with, whether it's a product or service, right? And for me, early on, it was around leadership and motivation and coaching folks, coaching organizations, and coaching people to think differently and think better or think stronger about where they are today and the future. Mm-hmm. So in essence, you know, a little mini motivational coach in my mid-20s working with executives in the Fairfield County, Connecticut, New York area. And probably the big break for me was two big breaks. Probably the biggest person, most impact that I ever had in my life was my father, who was a Harvard alum, went Harvard Tufts, GE, left GE in the ad department, and he and two other guys went to New York City in the mid to late 50s and started an advertising agency, Muller Jordan, and at the time, Herrick. And literally just based on relationships, created a mid-sized agency in the city and perhaps one of the most interesting industries in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And in the truest sense, he was a madman. Mm-hmm. So I kind of mm-hmm. grew up with that in a house. And
yeah.
I, because of that, I think I only saw the show once mm-hmm. on TV. Didn't need to. I lived it. But he gave me some profound advice. You know, at different points, it would be almost like executive orders. He would say, you know, he pushed me, gently guided me into a school that had an insane ability to help you dream differently and think very bold and big. And that was Babson College, one of the first college in the country to have entrepreneurship as a major.
But
by the way, I don't think you can really teach entrepreneurship, right? Either you got it or you don't. One, mm-hmm. two. Mm-hmm. What I found fascinating about Babson, again, the lower level courses I dreaded. I actually, ironically, dreaded the computer room. We'll get more into that here in a minute.
That's funny.
And it is kind of interesting, right? But I found fascinating the policy classes, the marketing classes, the classes that where you were talking about thinking about the world differently and thinking like a CEO. That's when I kind of really began to first really understand that I'm very different than the world and very gifted. But once you find that gift and see it, the issue is, my experience was with it, you almost, sometimes you embrace it and sometimes you run from it. So it's really, once you really find that unique aspect of yourself, it's really to lean into it and mm-hmm. then to work with yourself, coaches. Some people now say have your own like personal board to help you refine you in different areas, but to lean into it and to really set big goals with big ideas and you know, really stretch yourself and stretch the thought leadership you have and the opportunity you have currently and into the future.
Mm-hmm. So did you, when you started HMG Strategy Group, let's talk about that a little bit. I want, first of all, to talk about the mission of HMG Strategy Group and when you started that, but also did your dad speak into you when you were looking to do that?
Yeah, go back a couple of years, a few years earlier. I graduated, I said, Dad, I want to come and work on Madison Avenue with you. Advertising is cool, it's sexy, it's kind of fun and interesting, right? Certainly that would be a great starting point. At the time, it was a $100 million agency in the 80s. That was a pretty, in Billings, that was a pretty big number. And he turned to me and goes, no way. I go, what? He goes, this is a declining industry, pre-social media. It's consolidating. And he really didn't have, I think at the end of the day, he really didn't love it. He just did it because he knew how to do it and he was good at it. But he says, you need to go into technology. And so it was kind of like the movie, you know, The Graduate, plastics. You know, my big word was going to technology.
Right.
So my very first job out of college was for California Computers. Ironically, I do a ton of business now in California. It's probably our number one market in the world. I'm constantly back and forth mm-hmm. Between the East Coast, all over the world, but spent a lot of time in Northern California, Southern
Silicon
as well.
Village.
Silicon Valley, yes.
Right.
So then the next big break was 4 years later when I went out on my own to start my own little consultancy as a leadership coach. My very first client was Gideon Gartner at Gartner Group at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Gideon was known for, number one, he was the number one analyst at Oppenheimer covering IBM. He came up with the idea if you basically study one industry and then dissect the business model that, let's say, the deal that IBM struck with the oil industry, then you could sell that model to all the other oil companies across the industry. So I went to Gideon and said, oh, that's kind of fascinating and interesting. That's research down a level. I think the tech platform and the tech leader is really going to make a measurable, demonstrable difference today and into the future. And right about then, the role of the CIO, Chief Information Officer, came onto the scene. And right. I became one of the first early on coaches for CIOs. When I said to Gideon, you need a CIO practice, he says, no, we're down a level. And I gave the idea to one of his competitors, and they said, well, we're down a level. Go work with the chairman, make it happen. And so this was 1989, 1990, 1991, 92. And now, if you look at it, often the CIO reports into the board quarterly, at least on cyber, but right. they're responsible shepherding the tech platform forward. If we've learned anything from Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google, it's technology is everything, data is everything, and it's the oil that makes this economy go. And, it's fascinating when you spend time, as much time I do as out in Silicon Valley, is where the innovation is today, where it was 10 years ago. And the shocker that I have on this one is my belief is if we go back 10 years from today, and I was with the Facebook guys, and they were saying, well, it's all about mobile and it's all about data. Everyone, you look around and go, okay, that's interesting. That's exciting. Then, of course, right, whatever, right? But you look at the FANG stocks, and where they were 10 years ago, the stock you could have bought all day long in August of 2008 for $25 mm-hmm. was Amazon. Well, Amazon would cross a trillion in market cap about a month ago, and it's going to continue to march on. And I think there is a boardroom in the world right now that isn't afraid of right now or concerned of who's going to come in and disrupt themselves and what can we learn from all these tech companies out there in around the world around leadership, around the tech platform, how to love your customers both personally as well as digitally so you can drive a competitive advantage against your competition right. set, right?
Yeah. No, you brought up an interesting point. I was just talking to Mary Hager, the CIO for Ameren, a couple weeks ago, and her quote was, all roads lead to technology.
That's
and
good.
I do think that's true. Every company needs to be thinking that way, right? So that's interesting about your dad. You have your dad to thank, really, for saying, no, you need to go into technology. Were you receptive to that immediately, or did it take a while for you to get on board with that?
Well, I was a slow developer in my 20s, and as I indicated, somewhat challenged in school and studies. But what I just was always fascinated by the potential of innovation and what one could do with rethinking the future, mm-hmm. rethinking the possibility. But my angle was different in terms of it being processors or computers. It was about how to get people to think differently,
right.
to be more creative, mm-hmm. embracing technology, that classic model of people, process, and technology, embracing technology and innovation and leading leadership qualities and skills into the marketplace so you can really define and protect core, which is important. And we do that now by looking to disrupt ourselves. How can we disrupt our core to make it really safe? And then looking at adjacencies and completely new business models and ideas all at the same time in order to keep the company successful and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a company that legendary company in the United States, history of the United States business, GE, had a big idea about 10 years ago. It put a lot of time and money at it, and it failed. The stock is 1/6 of where it was, several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and a really sorry situation. And they're now reorganizing again under another CEO, their second and their third CEO in 12 months. So I think it was all about really trying to define a space where I could make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea, one of these books, I've read a bunch of different books about professional development, personal
right.
development, leadership, and so forth, surrounded myself with all sorts of mentors and coaches that I thought were brilliant. And then the issue with coaches and mentors, oftentimes you outgrow them, or
right.
oftentimes they don't have enough time really to dive into the details, or the relationship just doesn't meet up to your expectations. So that's kind of tough.
That is tough.
But when you read kind of some really solid educational books about professionals and self-development, and you do that introspection, that 360 on yourself, and set some goals and go out and try some stuff. One of the books years ago that really impressed me, and I can't even remember why I picked it up, and I probably read it 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like when I was a young kid, 25, 30 years old, Scott Peck's The Road Less Traveled.
Oh, I love that book.
Right?
Life is hard. That's
really,
where it starts.
Right? Really
yeah.
some timeless ideals and principles. And then at the time, it got me to this position now where right now, arguably, we have the largest technology independent network in North America, which might mean the world.
Right.
The collective network or group of technology executives, it's a $6 trillion people process, hardware, software, and services number, $6 trillion now worldwide. That, our network matters when we come up with a position of where the world is today and where it's going. I'll give you an example. Just completed my fifth book about a year ago, started my sixth with Wiley, my publisher, oldest publisher, I believe, in the United States. Kind of proud of this attribute or achievement. Number one technology author for Wiley. So in essence, when I go in there with a new idea, they go, okay, well, sounds pretty good. Let's see if we can make this happen. This was my next new idea, because back to that 10-year bracket, and I think the next 10 years is going to be short, it'll be much more innovation and much more impactful in the next 5 years than last 10. But this idea of the world changed so much from 08 to 2018, I think this next 5 to 7 years is going to be a whole different world in terms of innovation and opportunity for people to get it. So the next new idea is we're studying across the whole industry, and we're getting input across all industries, all levels within the tech executive and C-suite, about where are they placing their bets on technology, what's going to matter in the next 18 months that's going to point them us in the right direction for the next 7 years. So it's future state 2025. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to be in 7 years? But where do you need to place your bets right now? Who do you need to be talking to? What do you need to be working with? And I talk to CIOs all day long. I was talking to the CIO of a $16 billion company yesterday and saying, you know, Hunter, what we really don't have is someone to help us filter out where are the top technologies and opportunities, and who are the top partners and vendors that we need to be working with, that, and just cut right through all of it, including all of the pay-to-play or the vendor influence buying into kind of a model or a coverage area. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's what we're working on. My company, we're that neutral, independent source of truth and openness and clarity and honesty. And
it's almost like an Angie's List.
There you go.
It's almost seriously. Or a TripAdvisor, right?
I mean,
so you're going into your network and you're asking these questions, and then you're going to aggregate that information.
Well, you think about it at home right now. When you have a really pressing issue, where do you go? Now, the doctors will say, don't do this. People go to the web and they Google whatever ailment is it. And then you read all this crazy stuff.
And then you freak out.
And then you look at the remedies, and then you freak out when you look at the side effects of the potential remedies, right? But it's this notion. Here's the big idea is, wouldn't you rather much listen to an expert practitioner that just went through the experience that you're going through right now, and not really an advisor or not really a consultant, but somebody who just is at your level in your kind of industry, going through that same experience, whatever it is, if you're a business or in your personal life, isn't that a better data point?
It's huge. It's huge. Absolutely. Yes, I'd much rather do that. We're going to take a break, and then we will be back with Hunter Muller. Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about something so cool going on right now in the Nichols household. Allie, our wonderful daughter and the inspiration for Something Extra, is competing in the Dancing with the St. Louis Stars event this January. Allie will be the Something Extra for the night, and we need your help. Please go to lisagailnichols.com/vote, watch a video of Allie's story, and get all the links to vote. Each vote is $10, and you can vote as many times as you like. All of the proceeds support the Independent Center, a community-based rehabilitation program for adults with severe and persistent mental illnesses. This is a fantastic organization, and voting for Allie is a great way to support the important work they are doing. And we want Allie to win. Pause the show, go over to lisagailnichols.com/vote, and join Team Allie. So Hunter, tell me, what do you think the Something Extra was in your dad that made him who he was?
Yeah, what I remember of my dad, Frank, he grew up in Denmark, Copenhagen. His great-grandfather was a surgeon general in the government, which is kind of an interesting position, right? They came to the States, immigrated, and he went to Harvard, as I mentioned earlier. But what was really fascinating about him was he was a really intensely focused on relationships and the importance of being a sound person, a man of your word, and really strong quality values of relationships. He liked to compete, was big into yacht racing, and he was a big dreamer. He loved to think big, and for himself, I think, for his family and for his clients. And being in the advertising world in the 60s and 70s, as I mentioned earlier, grew his agency to about 100 million buildings, which was pretty interesting back then. And at this time, the big idea, when he was like trying to step back from the agency, he brought in a woman very well known in Madison Avenue, Jane Moss. She was at Wells Rich and Green, and she was the account exec on one of perhaps the most significant ad campaigns ever in the world that I could think of, at least in the New York area, I Love New York. In terms of branding platform or campaign, I think that is still testing the time as well as it rolled all over the world. And then it kind of was one of the, I think it was one of the catalysts of getting of all of these, the larger packaged goods companies like Pepsi and Coke to develop global brands. So that's kind of, you know, and then his whole thing was, you're lucky to have five great friends. I'll give you the best coaches and experiences and teaching and fields to run it out and figure it out and play it out. But he realized, you know, he couldn't do it all for us. But he was a real intellect, and we'd have some really deep discussions about life and this and that. But he's about 30-minute discussions, and then, you know, he just let it go. And he pretty much let us do our own thing, but with a lot of thinking big. I mean, to go back to a guy like Ted Turner, right? So Ted Turner at CNN was a big visionary developing CNN, right, as a communication platformer. It was very unusual, the cable news, when we remember the 70s when that whole model broke. And we had some time with Ted because we were in the sailing world and circuits. And I always say my dad has some of those qualities. Ted was a huge, big guy and big personality. My dad had a big personality and very passionate, right? And passionate about you know, his family, his life, his sports, and his kids.
Right.
So that's kind of that piece. You know, and when I think about my own life, when it really's worked, when I've been most successful, it's really having a vision, a clear vision of where I'm at, where I'm going, and doing that honest, reflective assessment of what are my strengths and weaknesses, who do I need to surround myself to bolster those weaknesses, and what are my character weaknesses or gaps in terms of areas that I need to refine or finish in order to get to the next level. And my model is very complex. I can't lean on a software app or a piece of technology, really. We're a network, a loosely defined technology executive network based on common interest, common trust, common belief, common ideals, and common passion around looking to make the world better and bigger and different. And where I get the most joy is helping tech execs elevate their game, elevate their career, really make not just step one step function changes in their careers, but really help them make monumental leaps forward in their careers with their current company, team, and organization, and set themselves up for greatness in terms of the next opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've
mm-hmm.
I've seen a 2X, a 3X, an 8X deal where tech execs have done incredibly well just networking in and around the network. And that was another kind of a sage idea my dad had, and was, you know, it's a spoke on the wheel theory. If you really want, I mean, you got to give back, right? You always have to give back and
Absolutely.
Be connected to your community at all levels, right? But if you really want to be a winner, hang out with other people that are doing things, that are excited, and they're moving forward in interesting places, interesting things, and they were talking about things that you're interested in. Now, you really balance that out. You want to have some differences in the people. Some diversity. But if you're on that same spoke, chances are you're going to find success because you'll help each other.
Right. And I see that in you, Hunter. I mean, that's exactly that quality of relationships being important. You've carried forward in what you're doing, you know, with the HMG Strategy Group. Yeah, I once heard, and I can't quote who this was, but I once heard the quote that you are the average of the 10 people that you hang out with.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that an interesting quote, but it's true. I mean, it's the people you surround yourself. You know what your strengths are.
That's right.
Right? And then you surround yourself with people that can help plug the holes, if you will. But no, I see that in you. I see that you've taken that characteristic of your dad forward with what you're doing in HMG Strategy.
Well, you know, and the other piece to it, because if you're a leader and if you're a hard worker and you're driven, which, you know, clearly I am and I have that, is believe in yourself, in your qualities, and your values, and treat people nice on the way up. But it's important to take care of yourself on all levels, physical, mental, spiritual, you know, what you eat. And that piece is probably the most important piece in the whole model because if you don't do that, some of our greatest and brightest people in the history of our country just had a time out because they didn't take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. No, that's an important piece. And I know you're big into fitness. You're big in, okay, so talk to me a little bit about HMG Adventures.
Oh, yeah,
you're a big snowboarder, snow skier.
Well, I love skiing. Sure, my kids love skiing. We ski. They ski a lot. I ski about 50 days a year, mostly in New England, but some out west. And there's the other piece is find that area in your life, in your free time, that really fills you up on all dimensions and really find and spend time in that space playing mm-hmm. at whatever level you're at. And, mm-hmm. you know, now in my 50s, playing has different dimensions, but it's for me, it's skiing, out-of-bounds skiing out west, skiing fast in the east, spending time in the mountains. You know, you've talked to guys like Tim Cook, talks about how he enjoys the mountains. I love just being in the mountains. It's a whole relaxing kind of a separate idea. Mm-hmm. Then during the summer, spring and the fall, the beach is great. My boating interests, as I mentioned earlier. It's just nice to be on the water as well.
Mm-hmm. So there needs to be balance.
Yes.
Definitely needs to be balance. But sometimes I feel like doing those things really help your creativity too, though. I mean, your creativity can go out the roof when you do those things like what you're talking about.
It's completely true. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So tell me of what you think, Hunter, and we've kind of touched on a lot of these things, but what do you feel like is the something extra that every leader needs?
It's a vision of a better future. I just came back from London, and you know, it's really fascinating. The world economy right now, in my opinion, is just flying. I've never seen such a robust global economy be in Heathrow and London last week and in the New York area where we live, and I'm on a plane every week. I think it's really how to make the world better and bigger and more connected is one idea. And it can be both in personal relationships. It could be through digital platforms. It could be through social media platforms, any different type of communication platforms. I think as a leader, you have to be open and ready to give back a chunk of your time. We surround ourselves with a bunch of different causes that help inner city kids in the 18 to 23 range, help them get out of the ghetto or less advantaged situations, broken homes, and get into corporations so they can get, you know, get trained. Europe's mm-hmm. one of the organizations. NPower's one of the organizations
yes.
that we work with, do a lot of work with all over the country. And I think at the core, you have to attract and retain great people. And the way you do that is you got to be really generous and nice to your people, which is really hard because you know, when you're the CEO of a company, the pressures and the demands on you daily and weekly are different than, say, an employee. Not to change, but say there's more. It's like more
right.
complexities, right?
Right.
As you're outward facing with your customers, in my instance, a global brand, global customers, working with both end users or both companies across industry as well as technology mm-hmm. companies across the stack. And then you have to really have a code of ethics in terms of how you really work with people in a fair and open, balanced way.
I agree. I mean, organizations are made up of humans, mm. right?
That's right.
And so, you know, engaging with those humans in the right way, you know, is critical.
There are two things too, right? One thing is we know in the Bible is, as I think, so shall I be, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one piece. And then that's kind of interesting. Then you go over to like the more corporate kind of idea, if you will. The late Peter Drucker talked about culture is everything. So culture.
Yes, I just quoted him yesterday
culture,
in a talk. Yes.
Culturally strategy,
for breakfast. That's right. It's exactly right.
I like my dad. He's like, you know, work hard, play hard, take care of yourself, take care of your friends, your family, mm-hmm. give back, and have a passion. And what I'm really, really proud about probably most of my life is my two boys. They're so healthy and happy and strong and independent and smart. More so than I was at their age. So I think it's kind of interesting the way you can learn through the generations and pass along, you know, ideas and coaching and so forth. And I see my kids at 13, 15. They're traveling the world and loving life. And it's just really fascinating.
Mm, that is. That's success, Hunter.
Thank you.
You know,
yeah.
It really is. So talk to me a little bit. Is there something that you are really excited about right now that you want our listening audience to know about? And if so, how can they plug into that?
I think, you know, in the business space, when I think of our industry around technology and innovation and where we are as a world, you can either be afraid of it and kind of just let it happen to you, or you can study it and try to think it through, or you really can be actively, demonstratively looking to figure out what matters, what's significant for you in your industry, in your company, in your position in life, whether you're a business person, a CEO, or whether you're a person just living life, not in a company. And what I'm most passionate about is my media model. I said it's the second pillar of my company. With a million impressions a week, I mean, that it's beginning to build an audience that really is significant and matters. And what we're doing is, researching now with the new book, Future State, Enterprise Future State 2025, the technologies and the innovations that are going to change the world over the next 7 years, mm-hmm. we're doubling down in that area, clicking down and really looking at it across the industry. And we are already, through our early on findings, we publish 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can go to HMGStrategy.com and sign up for that newsletter. Monday, Wednesday is the research note, and Friday's a tech news digest. Mm-hmm. But passionate about that and the quality of work we're doing. We're disrupting our industry. Mm-hmm. My company, little company, you know, it's not so little anymore, I feel like we're making a huge difference mm-hmm. because we're really putting something out there. You know, the founder of Gartner, Gideon, and I met, and he was one of my, you know, iconic inspirations, I should mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. And I met with him 3 years ago, and he'd heard about the progress that we had made. And he says, Hunter, I want to do a roll-up, and I want you to be part of this, and I want to go out to the Valley and raise some money and do this together. And I said, wow, that's really flattering. This is like the godfather of our industry.
Right, exactly.
Right, or someone like, you know.
Everybody subscribes to Gartner.
Yeah. And now he's on his own for some time. But to work with him, I said, I politely said, I can't do that. I just think our visions are too different. We have the model, we're in two different spaces. I didn't say that to him then. But mm-hmm. anyways, the net of it was, or has been, I think we took the right path and we're doing incredibly well, stayed independent. And I mean, to this day, it's been quite a task, but I still own 100% of the company mm-hmm. with an incredible growth trajectory. So, you know, doing over 100 experiences, 32 conferences, probably 30 webinars, 30 dinners throughout the year. We really have a position in the marketplace and a connective network and thousands of phone calls and hundreds of advisory board calls throughout the year that we really are pulling together mm-hmm. the most, I think, compelling agendas in our industry around leadership, innovation, disruption in a customer-centric world and helping the tech execs, tech leaders elevate the game into the C-suite and the boardroom in a safe, secure way because, my God, cybersecurity now is so important.
Yes, it is. Well, I would encourage our listening audiences to go to the website because there are some amazing resources out there. And especially if you're wanting to grow as a technologist, if you're wanting to grow as a leader, you know, this is a great place to spend some time. So, Hunter, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
On the podcast today.
Really
it was
appreciate,
fun.
Really appreciate the opportunity, Lisa. Yeah. It's always good to see you and looking forward to spending some time the next couple of days with you, Greg, and the technology leaders in the St. Louis community.
Yes, very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2018. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit lisagailnichols.com/somethingextra. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen.